Lord, you're good, and from glory to glory, He is good. Oh, taste and see that He is good. I'm satisfied. Oh, my life, say. Thank Him for all that He's done for you this year. Tell Him one more time. Say, all of my life, faithful. Yes, all my
are you glad to be in the house of the Lord in His presence tonight? We come to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on a special night, Christmas Eve. Tomorrow we celebrate the birth of our Savior. Obviously, we know it wasn't in winter time, but it's the day they set aside. But nevertheless, He was born. The Brother Ramble said that the virgin birth produced a sacrifice for us. I'm so thankful that God was so mindful. Couldn't pay our way back, but God sent a sacrifice, a substitute. He came Himself. So let's just go to Him in prayer as we open this service up this evening. Father, what a great privilege we have as Your children to come into Your courts with thanksgiving, Lord. To come into Your house with praise tonight, Father. Lord, the fruits of our lips giving praise to Your name. Lord, we come to worship You, Lord. On this Christmas Eve night, God, a night of worship, a night of sacrifice, Lord, we just want to come and open up our hearts to You. And Lord, and say we love You tonight. We're so very thankful. Father, You got us through another year. You've been so mindful to us. Lord, when we were sick, You healed our bodies. God, when we were struggling, You lifted us up. Lord, when we were weak, Father, You gave us strength. Lord, Father, we're so thankful to be Your children tonight. Lord, called according to Your purpose, Lord. And Lord, on this evening, Lord, we just want to yield ourselves in Your presence. And Lord, and worship You one more time. And say thank You, God, that You came. Lord, You are so mindful. You come and took on the form of humanity to pay the price. Lord, the law required a kinsman redeemer, and the virgin birth met the requirement. I'm so thankful, Lord. When man couldn't pay it, You paid it. No man was good enough, Lord. You decided to come down and be the propitiation for our sins, be the atonement for our healing. So, Father, tonight we just want to set aside time to worship You, to say that we love You, Lord. And we're so thankful for 2025 and the year that You gave us. And we press forward, Lord, to the mark of the high calling. And, Lord, we wait expectantly for 2026 that it could be the return of our Lord and Savior. We just ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, Miles, if you would come now and sing your special.
The game. From the manger to my heart. Of the Lord tonight. Amen. Singing about the birth of our Savior. You know, I believe it pleases the Lord for us to sing about His birth. I believe, you know, I know Brother Branham said some things about celebrating Christmas, and he made reference to how not to celebrate but to worship. But if you read through it, most of those times where he talks about celebrating, he directly references how people celebrate. And he says they're celebrating by firing their guns in the air and drinking whiskey and doing those things. He said, how would God think if he came down and saw us celebrating like that? But a true celebration is a joyous expression. That's what a celebration is. And I believe that we are here to worship, but we're here to celebrate in this way, because the prophet of God said, "And when he was born in a manger in Judea, Bethlehem of Judea, there wasn't no one there to celebrate his birth. So God sent some angels down out of heaven, and they sang songs as they usually sing at a king's birth." So that's what we're doing. We're celebrating the way you should for a king's birth. And we're here to praise him tonight. Amen. Amen. If you would stand with me, we're going to read from the Word. We're going to read from Luke chapter 2. And we're going to read down through verse 20 together. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." Amen. You may have your seats.
Has come, sing it out. Jesus Christ is born. Jesus Christ is born. Glorious, glorious, what a glorious night. Glorious, glorious, what a glorious night. I hear the angels singing, hallelujah, let the earth receive her King. I know that love has come. Sing it out. Jesus Christ is born. I hear the angels singing, hallelujah, let the earth receive her King. I know that love has come. Quiet, a star shining in the sky. Below in Bethlehem, the King is sleeping. Oh, what a glorious night! Oh, what a glorious night.
joy this evening. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And have you enjoyed the singing tonight? Amen. Certainly have enjoyed all of the specials this evening. And amen. I was thinking when Brother Sam and his family were singing about the great things that God has done for us. How wonderful he's been to us and placed his spirit within us. He didn't just come to live and die, but he came for you and for me. And what a wonderful, wonderful blessing it is. Amen. And why don't we just sing together to him?
Spirit, lead me where
my trust is without borders.
Let me walk upon the water. Wherever you would call me, take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior.
Sing it again.
Sisters that are singing together, those singing with Brother Jackson, if you'll come at this time,
say you are with me, though the oceans may roll and the mountains be filled. I know I'm not forsaken. I know you're with me every step.
Can we sing it one more time?
Say, though the oceans may roll and the mountains be shaken, I know I'm not forsaken. I know you're with me every step that I take. Oh, I don't have to worry. I know you're with me.
Noel, Noel. Let's stand together. Let's sing that chorus, "Come Let Us Adore Him." Amen and F. Amen. Just sing it.
Oh, come let us adore.
Today, Lord, just pausing to think about what it meant for mankind, how it changed our trajectory, Lord, and where we were headed, Lord. And Lord, a little baby could be born in a manger and would change the whole world. Oh, God, we love you, Father, and we thank you, Lord, for coming and being made like us, that you could understand what it's like to go through things that humans go through. Human battles and situations of our lives, oh God, you are now an understanding God, because you lived it, you walked it, you breathed it. Oh God, what a God you are. We're so thankful, Lord, to be your children tonight. Ask, Lord, you just speak to us for a moment in your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to read the scripture, Isaiah 7 and verse 14. Amen. It says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Amen. We'll let you be seated for a moment. Speak to you for a few moments here. This little thought I had this as I was thinking about the season that we're in, I want to speak on faith in a baby. Amen and a baby. You know, Brother Branham would say it like this. He said, this time of the season, as we focus our thinking towards Christmas, he said, it's too bad that we have a lot of it to be a myth called Santa Claus instead of the real Christmas that it's supposed to be. He said, many little children in the land today know nothing more than Christmas means a sleigh full of toys and some mystic reindeer pouncing on the house, to only learn later of this being a myth, to even hurt their faith. He said, when it comes to know the true Christmas story, that it had nothing to do with reindeers or a man smoking a pipe or some fur around his coat, it was the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You know, nothing about a baby suggests disruption of political powers or religious sects. You know, babies arrive quietly, they have to be carried, they're dependent, they're unnamed by history, They do not announce revolutions. They do not overturn empires. And yet this baby did. Jesus did not enter the world with explanations. He entered it with needs. He needed shelter. He needed milk. He needed arms to hold him through the night. From the very beginning, every people thought they knew their God. Every person, you know, thought, I know God. But what they knew about their God, the power, their distance, his distance, the dominance that he had, his great majesty on that night was undone. Because he came to be born in a body of flesh. You know, this was, Brother Branham said like this. He said it was the only way that man could be redeemed. God had to become a kinsman, a near kinsman. He said, I want you to see it. He never became kinfolk to the rich or to the mighty. But he was born in a stable. He was wrapped and swaddled in cloth, not to the adult, but to the child. He was God over the creation, but the God over the creation chose to be wrapped in a child, a little baby's body. Not to become as a full, matured man. He came that he might suffer the feelings of a little baby. Think about that. God came to suffer the feelings of a little baby. He came that he might go through the teenage temptations. Amen. Might go that he should toil the toils and snares of the devil as a man, not as God, but as a man, and make a way for the people of all ages, of all classes, the poor, the rich. He became poor, and through his poverty, we might become rich and heirs with him in the kingdom. A sign would be given, crossing himself, making himself something different than he was. He said, now that's a super sign. A super sign. What is it? Crying as a baby, playing as a boy, toiling as a man. But it was God living all the stages of life like we have. Hallelujah. This baby changed everything by redefining where God could be found. Amen. No longer was he found just in a temple or in a thunder on a mountain or in a law. But now God could be found in flesh. In breath, in our vulnerability of being a human, God did not stand above suffering. God laid inside of it, crying as a baby. Amen. And you know, it was told how the Messiah would come and how he would be born and what he would do and what his ministry would be and at what time he would arrive. But the time he arrived, you know, the ministry and the clergymen of that day, they had so many traditions. They thought, you know, we know exactly how he's going to come. We know exactly how it's going to be. And, you know, the Pharisees said, well, if he comes, he's going to be a Pharisee. And the Sadducees said, nonsense. That's a bunch of self-righteousness. He'll be a Sadducee, you see. But when he came, he was neither one. He never asked their opinion. He didn't ask anybody's opinion. But through his own wisdom, he knew how to send his son. And he came as a baby. And it so blew their mind to the religious time of that day. And of course, we know the story as it come to a virgin named Mary. And he would come in a name that was not a good name among men because he was thought of as an illegitimate child. And he had a lot of smear on his name. But amen, in that little baby, in that little spot there, laying in that manger was God veiled in flesh. Amen. That we can now have faith that this baby changed the whole world. That this baby, amen, not just remained, of course, a baby, but he grew up as a teenager and he went through things as teenagers go through and went through things as men go through. But he began to speak the words of life and the Spirit of God came down and dwelt inside of him and something began to change and it changed everything. It changed sickness. It changed sin. It changed the devil's kingdom forever. Amen. Starting out as a little baby. Hallelujah. He said, when you talk about the Messiah being announced in a stable over a manure pile in a cow barn somewhere, he said, could a polished up bunch of Pharisees, self-righteous men, highfalutin hypocrites expect such a thing as their Messiah to come in a stable? Well, what was it? It was little Jehovah crying as a baby. Could they expect this terrible Jehovah that had thundered off the Mount Sinai, set the mountain on fire, and opened up the Red Sea, become a baby in a stable? Oh, their theology could not swallow that, but that was the Messiah. And they said, when God sends a Messiah, no doubt he'll lower the corridors of heaven. He'll have a 10 million angel salute. He'll come right out of the temple, amen, that Moses left for us or Solomon built. He'll come straight out of this temple. He'll accept us right here, our high priest that we have chosen, our chief man, our state representative, whatever it was. He'll come and say, I have arrived. Here I am. This is me. I'm the Messiah. Don't you recognize me? That's the way they had it figured out. But when he came in a barn. When he came in a little baby. And his first words were not great theology. His first words were not great things. His first things out of his mouth was, why? A little baby. That God could come and understand what it's like to live the life that you live. Amen. He came. He was born in a barn. He was born by a mother. Amen. Had an illegitimate background to it, seemed to be, or as they thought, wrapped and swaddled in clothes. They tell me it was off a yoke of an ox, that poor, that God, the God that created the heavens, the God that created the earth, he made everything. And here he was, the very creator who made it all, laying in a stable. Laying in a bunch of straw that he had created himself. That he had designed himself. The creator of heaven and earth humbled himself to become the lowest. The highest become the lowest, that the lowest may be exalted to the highest. He changed everything by stepping into time. You know, salvation did not arrive finished. It arrived growing. Faith had to wait. Love had to be patient. Redemption unfolded through years of obscurity before a single word was spoken publicly. The world learned right there that God is not in a hurry. God is not in a hurry. This baby also changed everything by challenging strength itself. Power did not come as force. It now came as surrender. Come on, somebody. Power did not come as force. It came as surrender. He surrendered his kingly robes and he took on human flesh. Sure, he could have spoken it all and it would have happened. But that's not how God chose to do it. It was not conquest, but it was compassion. It was not immunity from pain. But it was a willingness to bear it. From the manger forward, strength would no longer be measured by what one could crush, but by what one could carry. True strength. He changed everything by inviting closeness. Think about this. A baby must be approached. It has to be held. It has to be protected. God had to be held. God had to be protected. God placed himself within reach of human hands, allowing love to precede understanding. Shepherds, not scholars, came first. The poor, not the powerful, recognized in faith, began not with certainty, but with wonder. And perhaps most radically, this baby changed everything by sanctifying ordinary life. Feeding, sleeping, growing. Things never again merely mundane. God had now lived them. From that moment on, no human experience is ever too small to be holy. Come on now. Hallelujah. The manger was not just a beginning. It was a declaration. The world would be saved not by domination, but now by devotion, by faith. Not by fear, but by love. Willing to grow slowly, suffer deeply, but give everything you got. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. To have faith in this baby, you have to be willing to surrender. You have to be willing to suffer. You have to be willing to give everything you got. Amen. The Bible says Jesus was laid in a manger. It's a Greek word that refers to a feeding trough. Many in Bethlehem were made of stone. Shepherds in the Bethlehem region were known for raising sacrificial lambs for the temple. And when a lamb was born, it was carefully inspected for blemishes and often placed in a manger or a trough to protect them from injury. because a damaged lamb could not be offered up to God. So when the Lamb of God entered the world, he was laid in the very place where sacrificial lambs were kept. Amen. It's amazing. And who did the angels announce his birth to? Shepherds. Not kings, not priests, shepherds. Men who understood sacrifice. They understood blood. They understood purity. They knew that there had to be a lamb without a blemish. And when the angels said, "Who you will find a baby wrapped in a swaddling cloth, laying in a manger," it was a sign that they would immediately recognize that this child wasn't just a baby. He was the final lamb. There had been many lambs. There had been many sacrifices. But this baby was to be the final lamb. It was the final attack upon Satan. It was the final lamb that would break the curse of Satan. That we now today can enjoy the freedoms of the Spirit of God. Why? Because this baby came as a sacrificial lamb. A lamb without blemish, without blame. That I could be also made perfect. The one who could take away the sin of the world. From the moment he was born, Jesus was marked for sacrifice. Not by men, but by God. Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. The prophet of God has said, he said, you talk about a super sign. He could have come as an angel if he wanted to. He could have had been a full mature man, but a baby crying over a pile of manure. Think about that. Talk about a super sign. That's a real super sign. A baby, Jehovah, crying as a baby. Super sign. Oh my, people saying he's just a prophet. Well, he said it's a super sign. It was Jehovah as a boy playing. Jehovah, a man toiling in a carpenter shop. Jehovah himself made flesh and dwelt among us. Stretched out his tent down here. Made himself a body to live in. That he could have a blood cell to live in. A blood cell that could be broken. It could be broken. That was the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. That brings us eternal redemption. The Bible said so. Here he brought us eternal redemption. We're now purchased by this blood cell that was broken, Calvary. Hallelujah. This perfect lamb, this final lamb, this lamb that said, "It is finished." Listen, I want you to understand that was more than my life is done. My life is finished. He was saying it's finished. Satan, you have lost your power. You have lost your hold. Sin can't hold them no longer. Amen. Why? Because now out of this body that was once a baby, that lived as a teenager, that grew up as a man, and now hanging on a cross, the blood flowing out of it, it released a spirit that more babies could be born. Hallelujah. He said, "It's finished." Messiah, miracle worker. He could have. He is yet. He always will be. Messiah was the anointed one, the anointed today. But he said the anointed one today is the Messiah church. This church of the newborn, this church that come through the water, faith cometh by hearing, through the blood cleansed life, through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the anointed one, the Messiah church. Why? Messiah church will have the signs of the Messiah in it because it's a Messiah church. It's the church of the Messiah. That makes me feel good as a fellow did a while ago. Yes, sir. A Messiah church with Messiah power, with Messiah signs. Because God didn't want just one baby. He wanted many babies. He didn't want just one man. He wanted many men. He didn't want just one life. He wanted many lives. Blood cell broke out. The blood went out. Broke at Calvary. It opened up that shell where no man had ever entered before. It broke, though, that it could bring you and I back into it. Hallelujah. That's what that blood did. Oh, that God could save a world through a baby. That challenges humans' expectations. Because power usually arrives armored. You don't normally hear, I don't know if I've ever heard of an army full of babies that went and conquered. You ever heard that? No, it comes. They go with tanks or, you know, in our day, bombs. It comes armored. But salvation and power arrive swaddled. This reveals God's character. Because he conquers not by force, but by faithfulness. Not by domination, but by devotion. The baby in a manger is already the lamb who will be offered. And the cross is already anticipated in the cradle. But finally, Jesus' birth announces hope. Because God entered history in such a lowly place. No place is beyond, that tells us that no place is beyond redemption. It tells me if he was willing to be born over a manure pile, he's willing to be born in any heart. Doesn't matter how low you've been, how sinful you've been, how sorry you've been, God shows you right there. He's willing to be born anywhere a heart will open up. Hallelujah. No place is beyond redemption. It declares that human life, ordinary, fragile, embodied life, matters to God. The resurrection then confirms that the sacrifice was accepted and that new life is possible. And here we are 2,000 years later, and we can say a baby had such a vast impact upon this world, you can't even tell it in millions of sermons. You can't even tell it in millions of words. There ain't enough words to describe it. There's not enough words to declare. So I want to end with this scripture as my family would come. Luke chapter 1 and verse 46. I want to just join in where Mary got caught up. She heard about this baby. She went and visited Elizabeth and things begin to happen. She's realizing more and more the significance of this baby. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden." How many can say, "Thank you, Lord, for regarding my low estate"? Thank you, Lord, for regarding me when I was undone and unworthy and unfit. But yet you was willing to come down and be born in this manure pile of human flesh. And behold, from henceforth and all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. I'm just glad to be part of that mercy. Amen. He has showed strength with his arms. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of the heart. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. Think what this baby did. Exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things. And the rich he has sent empty away. He has hoping or helped or supported his servant Israel in the remembrance of his mercy. As he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, but he didn't leave us out. Amen. And to his seed forever. What a wonderful thing it is to have faith in such a baby. A baby that came down and changed the world, but not only changed the world, but he changed our lives. We're witnesses of that. How many is a witness of that? Why don't you stand with us and sing this song with us? I think you know it. They'll put it up there for us. Let's just all sing it together.
But little Lord Jesus. bless you, everybody. Amen. Isn't it wonderful that we know we serve a risen Lord, a wonderful Savior, that He came all the way from glory to become one of us, to bring us in redemption, to be a part of the great plan and purpose of God. Amen. Gave His life for us to redeem us. Amen. What a Savior. What a mighty God we serve tonight. Brother Branham said if there was no Christmas, then there would have never been a resurrection. There was no Christmas, there wouldn't have been a salvation. And so because that God saw fit to break through the portals of heaven, angels come singing and rejoicing as the heavens open, and God descended and came as a baby in a manger. But He's not a baby in a manger anymore. He's a risen Lord. He's a risen Savior. And He don't just dwell in the heavens, but He sent back a portion of Himself as the Holy Spirit to come dwell in our hearts. And that's what makes it. We have Him right here in the manger of our heart. God bless you. Turn around to someone and wish them Merry Christmas. Amen. God bless you. Merry Christmas. We love you here, every one of you. We so appreciate you. Amen. I'm going to just take a moment here, bow our heads. Father, we love you. We thank you. We appreciate you for the great love gift of Jesus Christ. And we are asking now, Lord, that you'll bless us together as we're recipients of that love gift. May, Lord, tonight as we rejoice, as we celebrate in this moment, and we gather together, Lord, have a little things together, refreshments that have been brought, and we just remember the great gift.